Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this place. Thank you for working it out that we could all be here. And Lord, I thank you because you ordained this, we did not. You called this meeting and we did not. And so we know that you have something very precious for each person, and I thank you in advance for it. We just ask, Lord, that every sentence, every move, every song, everything, that we will be really attentive to your Spirit to do exactly what you want, no more and no less. And I pray that every person will fully receive all that they came to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This weekend is a journey, and what the Lord has shown us is that he wants to take us from praying to him, from earth to heaven, to coming to a place of actually experiencing being one with him. And you might not know that that's scriptural, but it says he who joins himself to the Lord is one with him. And whether you know it yet or not, your spirit, if you're born again, is actually part of him. And the thing that separates us from that is our thinking, because we have some earthly thinking. And so this journey that he's taking us on is going to pull out some of those pieces of thinking that hold us back from actually believing that God really loves me for me. I'm really his kid. And for some people, it took me 2 years to know that God loved me. I knew it up here. But that doesn't do you much good, does it? I knew it with my head. That doesn't do you any good. And God had to take me through a bit of a program to get me to believe he really loved me, because why would he? In my mind, why would he love me? But I didn't understand God. And that's why he said he wants truth in the inmost parts. Not head knowledge. Head knowledge doesn't free us, does it? But truth in the inmost parts, once you really get it, in your inmost part, no devil can steal from you God's love for you, or make you feel outside of his love. You say, even if I did something wrong, even if you did 1,000 things wrong. Because God, we can't even fix our things, our 1,000 or 10,000 things, except when we walk with him. And so what he desires for us is to come in with all our stuff and all our mess and all our wrong thinking and all our problems, and without condemnation, walk with him out of that stuff forever. And as we walk out of it and leave it behind, I often see a road in the spirit of someone on a journey. Sometimes it's me, sometimes someone else. And as they walk along, stuff is being left behind on the road. Stuff we don't need. Stuff that isn't helpful to our walk, right? Even sometimes things we think, right? My road is strewn with a lot of lies that I used to believe. I don't believe them anymore. And because I don't believe them anymore, I can accept God's love for me no matter what kind of day I'm having. I can speak his word no matter what kind of day I'm having. I can know my Father loves me. And that's something he wants you to know down in here. And I know some of you do know that, but I feel like this journey, God is taking us somewhere that I don't know if many of us have really been. And his desire is to have you walk with him in heavenly places like Jesus did. Amen. So, hallelujah. If the light is too distracting, you're welcome to shut those curtains or not. Now we're just going to hang out with the Holy Ghost a little bit, okay? Speak what is wrong to them, over them, and about them. So I have brought you here to undo some of the damage that unknowing people did. Somehow I wasn't there. He's lied to you about you. But he's lied to you about me. And this weekend we're going to get it all straightened out. We're going to get the lies out. Fellows or all the people he knew, he had joy because he was free. And he was truth. He had truth in the inmost parts. That's what the Lord has for you. Lots and lots of it.
I was broken when you found me. You didn't question anything. You just healed me.
Thank you.
guilt. There's someone here who has a false guilt. You know that false guilt is a lying spirit? It'll make you feel guilty and when you didn't do anything wrong. You know that that's actually a stronghold, and do you know that I got free from that one? We command every spirit of guilt or condemnation to leave. Someone in here, you've tried so hard to be pleasing to God. You love God with every cell in your body. You love Him with all your heart. And that devil of guilt tries to stand between you and the Lord, tries to keep you out of the holy place because he says, oh, no, you're not enough. You're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. Well, listen, not one person in this room, including me, has ever been good enough. It was only the blood of the cross. He was good enough. That's our only ticket. That's the only thing we have. And so we have to learn how to rest in what He has done and not what we have done. Whisper in your ear. And I've done so before, but sometimes you've said, oh, that couldn't be God. He says, I will whisper. There is no one like you. I didn't make two like you. I'm just going to say this. People tried to steal from you your value. This isn't everybody, okay? If I give a word and it's not for you, just wait. Because the Lord is ministering to one or two or five or ten. whether you know it or not, he says, show you off, don't you know, I say. That one's mine. So I'm hearing, let go. Let go of anything that ties you to any belief that God is mad. He's mad at the devil. That's who he's mad at. If you're a parent, if you ever had a little baby, a little tiny newborn, then you probably know the love that is without reason. It's not because the child did something or didn't do something. It's because they're yours. They're bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. It's part of you. And that is how the Father looks at you. Just waiting to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. This means, but I heard I'm remaking you. Some of you were stolen from, but it was very, very earlier in life. Almost like before memory. And so there were foundational issues. And it's so unfair when the devil gets a hold of a kid. Somehow in those early years, again, this isn't for everybody, okay, so be patient. God will get to everybody. But in those early years, I saw almost like something was broken on the inside of you, on your very insides. There was a break. And it's caused things to be crooked ever since in your life. Satan tried to take it and steal it and sort of pervert it or break it. But the Lord says, I am the one that can straighten it. And this isn't something you ever earn or make happen. It's something Jesus already died to pay for. His blood purchased this for every one of us, every single one of us who calls him by name has the blood covenant right to be made whole on the inside. On the inside, you are a new creation. And God wants to reveal to you the real identity that was taken. It's your heavenly identity. It's your born-again identity. And we're going to get to meet the real you. And that's the you with all the heavenly giftings and abilities and the ability to speak for God. The ability to move in the Holy Spirit and understand the Word. The you that has a calling we've yet to see. Do you know that there's things God wants to unfold in you that we haven't yet gotten to see? That's a big deal. You know, ministers are only people who figured it out a little bit earlier, usually. It wasn't that we weren't just as screwed up as everybody else, because we were, if we'll be honest and admit it. And the truth is, God brings us out of darkness into light. And that's the journey. I think a lot of people get caught in this journey of just trying to make it, just trying to survive, make a living, try to find some happiness, do the best we can. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we only do that, we miss the point, because the point is to connect with heaven, to allow heaven's true identity for you, who you really are, to be allowed to manifest. And a couple things will happen. One is he wants that true part of you to manifest in the earth instead of your flesh issues, which we all have a flesh, and our flesh has issues, right? But the second thing that happens is as we walk in that unity with God, in tandem with this Holy Spirit, or almost we could say one with this Holy Spirit being led by the Spirit, those other things tend to fall off, and we get freer and freer and freer until we don't look the same, we don't sound the same, we don't have the same personality that we used to have. The toughness is gone, the anger is gone, the unbelief is gone, the temptations are gone. It does not happen overnight, but sometimes it can. Sometimes it's a journey, but it doesn't matter. This is what God wants you to know. No matter how long or short that journey takes, you're his. And no matter where you are on that road, if your heart is his, he is yours. If your heart is his, he's not, listen, it's, what does it say? It says God judges the heart, not the outward appearance or the outward manifestation. He knows our flesh is stinky. He has a big revelation on that. And some of you, you go to God and you're constantly telling him your faults and saying, I'm sorry, over and over and over. You know that that's not true repentance. And in fact, that's harming you. A real repentance. Now, I love repentance because I learned that repentance sets me free. And we'll teach a simple, simple way of getting free from some of that stuff where you'll never be the same again. We're going to teach some really simple methods. I wish someone would have taught me. I did get it from the Holy Ghost, you know, because I was a mess. And anything that gets said here, I want you to understand clearly, no one is judging anybody else, because I can tell you right now, most of this stuff I learned looking in the mirror. That's where I learned most of this, looking in the mirror and going to God and saying, I'm a mess. What do I do? And him giving me an understanding, a truth, a technique, or a method to get free and be changed. And it's actually much simpler than we think. But the big thing God wants you to know is no matter how long your journey takes, you're his. You're his now. You're his a year from now. You're his 10 years from now. He loves you, not your outward works. And if you get free and do great things for him, that's awesome, but he won't love you more. And if you bungle it like I've done many times along the way in your process to get free, and then you finally get free, he doesn't love you less. He loves you as much as he's ever going to love. He loves you, and nothing you do will make that more or less, because you're his. He loves you because you're his, not because of what you do. And I see God wanting to gently tear down some of those structures we've built. We tend to build structures to survive, right? We build lies around us. We do whatever it takes to survive, right? Because sometimes earth is hard. And so we do what it takes, but sometimes then God lovingly, we want him to heal us. We say, heal us, God, as though he could push a button. He's saying, I want to, but I kind of need access to your heart. And you've got this big structure. And I remember one time God said to me, you know, I was asking, why can't you just heal? Why does the person have to say a proclamation or repent or exchange the lie for the truth? Why does the person, can't I do it for them? And the Lord said, no, if you make the choice, you need to unmake it. And what that means is if I believe a lie and I choose that lie, because God is holy, he gave us free will. And he won't go back on his word. So he gave me the right. I learned this because I was in depression for many years. You know what depression is? Depression is believing a lie, and usually a whole bunch of them. And if you're depressed, you need to be asking the Lord, what lie am I believing? And then you need to repent of believing that lie. So I've asked Lori to also kind of stay tuned to the Holy Ghost. We didn't plan like I'm going to teach this and I'm going to teach that. We have a ton of teachings on this because we've both frankly been down a long road and gotten free and gotten healed of a lot and probably still are, but I've asked her to stay tuned, and she may jump in with words of knowledge, etc. So Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for each and every one. I heard the word just a minute ago. I heard this word, and the word was treachery, and I said, Lord, tell me what you mean. And he said, there's at least one person in here that when you were young there was there was treachery in your life and in your family. And things were done that were absolutely wretched. And it caused, dysfunction isn't even a fit word. It caused such upheaval and such brokenness and almost caused like, you know, I'm just giving you the words that he's giving them to me, but it almost caused hatred in the family. And the Lord, you survived, you know, God bless you. You survived. And not only that, you found God. I mean, that's amazing. You know, God has me say this thing sometimes. Sometimes people come and they feel like, you know, they're disconnected from God, even though they love him. They love God, but they're feeling disconnected. And you know how God looks at it? He says, but look at you. You're still here.
Yeah.
A million opportunities you had to quit. A million times you could have stopped, but look at you. You're still here because deep down somewhere in you, you still believe. You do believe me. You do have faith as a mustard seed. You do believe that I can lift you up and out. And I feel like what he's saying is that betrayal caused you to have a great distrust for all humans. Again, this is not for everybody, okay? But sometimes when we're betrayed over and over again, we might develop the idea that no one is trustworthy. Not even him. And I used to have a problem with this, and the Lord took me through the scriptures, and one of the things he said to me is that Jesus didn't put his trust in man because he knew what was in them. So he's not asking us to trust humans because he didn't either. How about that? Yet what he wants us to know is he is not like any human we've ever known. And sometimes when you have trust issues, you want God to just fix it. This is a big problem in the body. We want God to just come and fix it. Just push the button, fix this, heal me, handle it. You're God, you know, you're sovereign, just do it. But one of the things I've learned over the years is that there are certain things that we need to do to open the way for that healing to flow. If you can receive it, Jesus died to release a healing river that is continually flowing from heaven. It says, by his stripes you were healed. And I don't want to take the time to teach on this, but let's just say, the blood of Jesus has already purchased all healing for us. But what I found in my life was I wasn't able to receive it. The problem wasn't him. The problem was me. He was longing for me to receive it. He was basically, this is a kind of a paraphrase, but what he taught me was he was basically sitting in heaven saying, please, won't you receive what I've done for you? But I had all these, bricks and, like all this fortress up around me of self-protection because I'd been so badly beat up. And I'll be brutally honest, there were times when I was pretty mad at God. I had a lot of terrible things in my life, terrible, terrible things going on in my life. And I couldn't understand. I knew he loved me. He had gotten me past that point. I knew he loved me. And I remember thinking, if this is love, somebody goofed. I'm just being honest. And I remember God and I had this conversation where I was speaking rather loudly, and you shouldn't do that, but I did. And I was really frustrated with the fact that my trials had gone on so many years. And God spoke to me very clearly. He said, there's something you need to get. He said, when you get it, we will go on. And until you get it, we will not go on. And I said, thank you, because you know what? I blamed the devil for some years. I blamed God for the rest of the years. But here saying, it's me. Somehow I'm doing something that is stopping me from receiving that healing river, which flows continually from the throne. Will never stop. He released it at the cross. He released it. Actually, the truth is he released it at the ascension. When he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat, there was an explosion in heaven. And healing began to flow. Salvation began to flow. Now let me ask you this. Does everybody receive salvation? No. Is it God's fault? No. Is it free to everyone? Yeah, it says he doesn't want anybody to perish. He desires that no one should perish. But do people perish? Yeah, all the time. Because they can't receive or won't believe or for whatever reason don't receive that salvation. Well, healing, emotional healing, deliverance, all of it is the same way. He died for us to have it all. And if you don't believe me, do a word study on Isaiah 53. And so my problem was I was living in a hellish situation. It was terrible. And I got into self-pity. I got into waiting for God to fix it, and I was a sold-out Christian. I mean, I was devoted to prayer, but I was deeply, deeply depressed, and I started to be like I wanted to give up. And meaning, I'll be honest, I thought about suicide. I thought about it a lot. I wanted out, out, out. And what I didn't know was that I was believing some lies. You know, depression is believing a lie, and one of the lies is it's never going to get any better. Another lie might be God doesn't really care if he'd have cared, he'd have done something. I believed a lot of lies, and God had to, once I realized the problem was me, I said, teach me. I'll do anything. If it takes the rest of my life, I want to know the truth. I want to walk out of this. And a few weeks later, I was walking down the hall in my house, and God said, I have a system I laid out in my word, and I'm not changing it for you. And I began to say, okay, so he's put a system in his word for us to receive everything he died for us to have. See, we've got a problem. We're looking at God to sovereignly give us stuff that he's already given us. But remember, God is in heaven on a throne. He's in the Holy of Holies. But between heaven and your house, there's all kinds of things going on, right? There's the angelic. There's the second heaven. There's all the demonic. There's all the devils on earth trying to get you. There's people, beating you up with words or beating you up literally. There's people maybe even in your house that they have their own problems. You might even be blaming them, but you know what I found? No matter what they're doing, there's things we can do to get whole. No matter what's going on in your house, there's things we can do to walk whole instead of just saying it's all their fault, it's all their fault, it's all their fault. Okay? And as God began to deal with me, I learned that the best thing I could do in any trial or any pain or any circumstance is say, what is it you're trying to get me to see? What is the truth that I'm not seeing, and what is the lie that I have believed? And see, with me, the depression came because I believed the lie that I knew I was called to minister. It was the only reason I even wanted to be alive. I knew I was called. I knew I was supposed to do some things. And I was in a situation that made it impossible. Could not happen. And I couldn't even see an out. I couldn't even see a way that it could ever be. It was just impossible. But you know what? God's bigger. And because I believed it was never possible, I felt like, well, there's no way I can ever do it. And that if that's my purpose and my value, see, Satan tries to steal your value. Now, the truth is, he can't. The truth is, God has placed a value on you, and it's priceless. And no one can really take that unless you give them permission. So some of you, when you got beat up by life or by people or by words or by lies, your identity got stolen. And most of the people in this room, vast majority of the people in this room, you have not yet seen the fullness of who you are, because only God knows it. Your pastor doesn't know it. Right? Your spouse probably doesn't know it. And I'll be honest, you probably don't even fully know it about yourself. Even though I knew I was called, I didn't know a fraction of what God would end up doing. And so the journey is to find the lie and be released from it. So I brought some kind of crazy props, and I'm going to have Lori help me with this. This is something God showed me a few years ago. You know, sometimes we do deliverance, and you've seen people cast out devils maybe, and you've even seen people with a devil sort of manifest if you've ever, you know, watched some of those scary TV shows and somebody's like screaming or falling. We don't do that here. We aren't doing that. We don't do that. We found a much easier way. None of that is necessary. What we found is you can cast a devil out, but if the lie is not dealt with, they'll come back and reattach. And what did Jesus say? Seven times worse. Jesus said this. He said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. There was nothing for Satan to hold on to. There was no, what God showed me, he called it, when he showed it to me, he called it soul hook. There was no hook, because Jesus was pure and perfect and holy, and there was no lie in his soul. Now, there's other kinds of soul hooks, but for tonight, we're going to talk about lies that we've believed. And one lie can cause great problems. So this, I'm going to pretend that this is a lie. Let's say that I was really abused as a child. Can everybody see this? It's a big giant hook. I made it big on purpose. You can see from the back. Let's say that I believe because let's say my parents, now I had pretty good parents, but let's say my parents did not love me. Now, my parents did, but my dad could not express it. He was one of those very, you know, I'm too cool. We don't talk about it. So I had to take it by faith that he loved me or even liked me. Well, what did that translate to when I got older? How could I believe my heavenly father loved me if my earthly father didn't love me? You know, because that's how we see father. I have a friend who grew up, and what she said, I don't know how you have a memory of two, but she said her earliest memory, she thinks she was about two or three, she said the most terrifying thing you could ever see would be your father in the doorway. That's who her father was. So later in life, when people said, your heavenly father loves you, she thought, I don't think so, Buster. And she hated God and became a raving atheist. She actually became evangelistic in her atheism because she thought, if that's what a father is, I don't want him. She actually preached against Christianity for a long time, and then she had an encounter with the real father and realized, he's nothing like my father. And so now let's just say that happened. Now, let's say I believe a lie. Now, you can see this, but pretend that it's hidden. Now, if it's hidden, you don't even sometimes know it's in there, so you don't know what Satan's attaching to. You just know there's a problem, an addiction, right, or a behavior pattern. There's all kinds of strongholds. This lie might be, God doesn't want me, or I'm not worthy, or God will never accept. He loves everybody else, but not me. And there's people that feel like that. There's people that feel like, I know God forgives, but I'm unforgivable. I know Jesus died to forgive sins, but I'm not forgivable. See, what happened is the lie took such deep root, it became who they are. Now it's not just something they believe, it's who they are. I'm unforgivable. You see the difference? So you can see that if that's your identity, how can you receive the love of God? Even if he's saying every day, I love you, I love you, I love you. You're like, no, you don't, no, you don't, no, you don't. Because you've got this lie in your soul. Now what happens, I'm going to ask you to, Lori's going to play the bad guy. So this is the lie of, I'm not worthy and God doesn't love me. And Satan comes along with a stronghold, and let's say this is condemnation and guilt. Now, a stronghold, I'll just say it in plain terms, is a demonic force that has an inroad to your life that makes you miserable, and it makes you behave in stupid ways. Do you ever have a stronghold? I'll just tell you what it's like to have a stronghold. You're going along and you're a fairly nice person, maybe, and your personality is a certain way, and then out of the blue, you do something weird or stupid, or you say something and you're like, why? Where did that come from? That's not like me. That's because it's not you. Okay, it's a stronghold, right? And everybody's got them. And if you're one of those people that goes, I don't have them, well, hallelujah. I'm just going to say, hallelujah. You know, I've had hundreds. I've had tons. So now, this is what I want to say. One lie can hold or house many strongholds. So this one was condemnation and guilt. This one is a spirit of rejection. Nobody wants me. None of the Christians love me. I used to have that too. Oh, goody. I went to this place where the Spirit of the Lord, the presence was so strong, and I immediately started to feel like I don't fit in. These people, nobody wants me here. I shouldn't be here. I didn't even know I had a spirit of rejection. Didn't even know I had it. I had the most miserable night, wretched, crying, what's wrong with me? And finally I said, God, what is wrong with me? He said, you're being delivered from a spirit of rejection. You know why I was being delivered? Because the power and the presence of the Lord in that place was so strong, that devil was like, you know. He was wigging out, and so I was, you know, I wasn't really, but I mean, I was upset, right? So don't worry about that. If you get back to your room and the devil tries to attack you, don't worry about it. God is setting you free. So now we have, guilt and condemnation, spirit of. Now we have rejection, and now let's just say failure. I also have a spirit of failure when I was young. And he hooks, now you've got all this stuff you're dragging around. And when he showed it to me, God showed it to me like a hook. It was much smaller than this, but you'd put it in the barn, you'd screw it into like a pillar, and this farmer would come along with a 2,000-pound Angus bull and snap it on there. And that thing can drag you anywhere you want, you know, anywhere he wants to go, right? And now you've got three of them dragging you hither and yon, and you're like, why did I behave like that? I bet they hate me. I feel so stupid. Should I call and apologize? Oh, I think they're mad at me. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so what happens? We've seen lots and lots of people delivered, including me, by saying, you know what? I am not going to entertain that lie. Now, how do you know it's a lie? A lie is something that opposes God's word. When God says you're accepted and beloved, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And yes, it means you personally. And I don't care about your history. And I don't care if you're still screwed up. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. So when you believe a lie, this is what God told me. He said, in a loving way, he was very sweet. He has a lot of compassion. But he said, do you understand that by your behavior, you're calling me a liar? Do you understand that for you to say that, oh, I know your word says this, but my emotions feel that way, so that must be true. Oh, really? So you're higher than I am, Holly. You hear it? Yeah. You know more than I do. Oh, your emotions, you feel rejected, so my word couldn't possibly change. He said, you understand, you're calling me a liar. And you're calling my word a liar. Uh-oh. So what did I do? Now I said, okay, now I get it, that believing a lie that opposes God's word is sin. And that's why the devil can attach to it. And that's why, by the way, he works so hard to get you to believe a lie. So when I saw this, God showed me, if I repent, and that's why we talk about proclamations. The proclamation goes like this. And it'll depend on the lie. The words will change a little bit. But the reason it is so important to make the proclamation is you are saying out loud, and you want to say it out loud, you are telling the enemy, from this day, I am renouncing this lie. This lie that says God doesn't love me, that I'm not valuable to him, or somehow he's never going to accept me, I renounce that lie. And now, all this stuff just falls off. And the lie's gone because I repented of it. When I repented of it, I've seen deliverance in my own life and in others' lives in seconds. Is anybody in here, have I worked with you on the phone and you had like a instant deliverance? A couple people. And so that is God. What he's doing is you're saying, I realize now that I put my emotions above your truth. See, heaven and earth hang upon the word of God. That's how true it is. It says all things are held together by the word of his power. When we stand before him, I'm going to tell you, if we've believed a lot of lies, we're going to be embarrassed. Because those lies were, why is the enemy so afraid of you? Why did he go to such great lengths to see to it that you were abused or lied to or betrayed and then tell you, well, it must be something wrong with you. Maybe God doesn't love you, or here's a big lie someone's believing right now. There's someone in here, you've been mad at God for a long time. And you've actually elevated yourself above him because you feel like he didn't come through for you. I get it. I was there. Not condemning you. But you have felt like this thing. And you know who said that to you? Satan said that to you. He's not only the accuser of the brethren, he's the accuser of God. He's trying to say, well, God doesn't really care about you. If God cared about you, that wouldn't have happened. But see, I wish I had more time to teach this, but there's a scripture that says, the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. And there's a lot of stuff on the back table that'll prove this to you, but the earth, he gave rulership to men. So when we say, why do bad things happen? It isn't God. God doesn't cause rape and murder. He hates that. But he's looking for a people who will take the earth back and bring it back into holiness. And who's he going to use to do that except the church? But if the church is so busy saying, well, I don't think God cares about me, or I'm just a failure, that I had that spirit. I mentioned that. I had a spirit, and I didn't even see when it's a spirit. You don't know it is. When it's a lie, you think it's the truth. That's why it's called deception. It's called deception because you actually believe it, and until the day comes, I remember having a spirit of failure, and here's what's really stupid. I was very successful. I had a successful business. I was a subcontractor of the Fortune 500 firms. I was successful. Pretty much everything I put my hand to was a success, but I'm telling you, every morning I'd wake up, and I would just, it was like there was this big sign over my head that said failure, and I didn't even know it was the devil trying to keep me, because he knows your calling before you do. Yeah. My husband, most of you didn't get to meet him. He was awesome. He was a powerful, powerful evangelist. He didn't get saved till he was in his 50s, but do you know Satan tried to kill him 11 times in his youth? So did Satan know ahead? Yeah. He sees it on us. I don't know how, but somehow in the heavenlies, he sees it. So Satan has seen that you're going to do something for God. Small or great, we don't know. Private or public, we don't know, and we don't care. But the important thing is, that's who you are. And that's, God desires for you to come into the fullness of who you are. And Satan is scared stiff that you're going to. So he spends his entire life trying to get you to believe either God doesn't care, or it's not true, or the word of God is not true. He's working very hard to get us to believe these lies. And I remember it took me a few years to finally get a clue that that failure thing was a lying spirit, and that I could choose not to believe it. And so I didn't know enough about making proclamations back then, but I remember I began to choose to say, nope, that's not true. Nope, that's not true. You know how it comes in your thoughts, right? The Bible talks about the fiery darts of the wicked. Those are thoughts that he can send to you, and it might feel like, I guess it's never going to change. I don't think God loves me. Listen, God will not make you think right. You have to stand your ground. You have to stand your ground against the enemy's lies. The reason Jesus could do what he did, do you think they came against him all his life? They called him the Prince of Devils. The Pharisees hated him. The leaders hated him. They said terrible, terrible things about him, always trying to trap him. And you know, he had to fight those same thoughts. He was pure. He didn't accept him. But what do you think the whole thing in the wilderness was about? Well, if you were really the Son of God. I don't think Satan showed up in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. I think he came in the form of those whispering, rotten thoughts of, you're not the Son of God. Are you kidding? Who do you think you are? Your mom told you that. She had some angelic experience. Oh, yeah, right. But if you were really the Son of God, turn those stones to bread. He had to, by faith, say, oh, no, you don't. Mm-mm. It is written. He had to refuse the lie about his identity. That's what this is all about, I'm telling you. All of this is about the real you, which, by the way, is a package from heaven. Not your fleshy part. Let's talk for a minute about your spirit man. When you were born again, I hope that everyone in here was born again, it was a legal, a real transaction in the realm of the spirit, where you were born completely new. You weren't just forgiven, you were recreated. That's what the Bible says. You were born from above. You received a spirit, and you know what the Bible says about that spirit. It calls it the new self. It says, put on the new self, which is created after the image of his holiness. I'm telling you, if you get this, you'll never doubt God's love. Because you're busy looking in the mirror at your shortcoming, which we all have. But if you can see in God's mirror the beauty and perfection of the born-again spirit, which is what he's looking at. He's not looking at your mistakes. Thank God. When he communicates to you, when he speaks to you, he's not speaking to your mind or your will or your emotions. He's speaking to your born-again spirit. When he's loving on you, he sees you. I remember I was driving home from work one day, and I was like, how can you love people? You know, people aren't very nice. I don't even like me sometimes. Like, how can you love people? And he said, because I knew you when. I said, what do you mean? He said, because I saw you in the Garden of Eden before the fall. I know who you really are. The fall messed you up, people, humanity. It caused things to be so contorted. He said, but I know who you really are. And when I give you that born-again spirit, it is perfect. It is made in the image of Jesus, and it looks a lot like Jesus. And it also looks like the real you. And the problem you have is you're looking at things in the earth realm, how things are in the natural, what you did or said wrong or right, or what your skills are or aren't. You're looking at all these natural things, but that's not going to do it. Some of you even have some good confidence in the flesh, but you know what? That's not going to do it. Even if you were great at this or that, that's not going to do it. It's what flows from heaven through your born-again spirit into the earth. So we were put here to manifest heaven on earth. Did I go too far for you? So you were born, you are the delight of God, but the problem is it's like a treasure that has to be uncovered. That's why it's called a treasure in earthen vessels. An earthen vessel is made of dirt. What was that made of? Dirt. But there's this glorious treasure, holy, wonderful, perfect and pure, that's housed in it, and that's the real you. And so the journey is making decisions to say, then I'm not going to believe this anymore. I'm not going to walk according to that anymore. Some of you were beat up by words all your life, and you actually hear those words. You know, your parents went on home. Did you ever hear your mother's voice in your head, your dad's voice in your head? I had a pretty good mom, but I remember I was sick one day. And I was driving to work, and I was battling this sickness. And my mom used to say, just over and over, "Oh, you have to bundle up. You know, you got to put a scarf on. You can't." I'm. She's long gone, right? She's with the Lord. I'm pulling into the parking lot at work, and I've got this, one of those. And I can hear my mother's voice saying, "Oh, you better cover your face, cover your mouth, blah blah blah." And I started to peel stuff off because I thought, you know what? I don't think those words, I love my mom and she was a really good lady, but that's not what God says. God says, I'm healed. I took all the stuff out. By the time I got into the building, it was completely gone. What happened? I chose to believe the word of God instead of the voice of someone in my head. Now, some of you have voices in your head that tell you never were, you're never enough, you're not going to be enough. I was in the library one day and it broke my heart. A man had this adorable little kid. She was probably, maybe 3 or 4, and she was, she was a kid. She's running up and down and making noise, and it was aggravating to him. He's busy getting his movie. And he ends up saying something to her like, "Aren't you ever going to get it right? Just shut up." And I'm thinking, "Mister, please don't do that, because in about 40 years, she's going to be on the phone talking to me. And I'm going to be trying to unscrew all this stuff you've told her that's not true." You could tell he disrespected her. I don't care if it's a kid. Don't disrespect a kid. Because God doesn't.
That's right.
Kids are people too. And when you were a kid, if you were disrespectful, no, they're probably doing the best they could, but some of them were really broken and really bound, right? And they just didn't know any better. But God wants you to know that you are the apple of his eye, and he wants to unpeel, if I can say it that way, unpeel and undo some of the works of the enemy that the enemy has done in your life to try to steal from you your identity, your purpose, and your calling. So I feel like God wants to release us. It's almost like if we could take off our earth suit. You know, there's an interesting scripture where Paul said, I bring my body under. When I was very, very young, I was reading that scripture, and God talks to me through pictures, and I actually had this picture of a person being turned inside out. And it sounds kind of funny, but it's like if you were turned inside out, we would meet the God in you, the Lord Jesus in you, before we'd meet your flesh. If we were able to allow our born-again spirit to meet people, people would meet us and say, oh, the Lord is the Lord of glory. Like John G. Lake, who would go to shake hands with somebody and they would fall down under the power. Right? Because he learned how to bring the Spirit of God to the forefront and let his flesh take a back seat. See, it's a different lifestyle, but God is trying to bring us to a place of wholeness where we're able to manifest God in the earth. Is everybody okay? Did I take you too far? Lori, do you have something? Okay. So, Father, I just lift these children up to you, and I have no sense of time, so let me just bring this out. I don't want to keep you like late, and I have this tendency to have no clue. So let me just minister a couple things. I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to release you from some things you never thought would go. I'm seeing a person that your life was very hard, and you are a very strong person, and you had to be. You made yourself strong, and you've made yourself successful, and you kind of pulled yourself up by the bootstraps, and you've been proud of that. But what has happened is you've built this fortress and God's having trouble blessing you because it's become like this, like a wall around you. And God is proud of you too. But sometimes when we, thank you, Lord. Sometimes when our heart is hurt, it's going to sound strange, but our heart is very much like if you were to have a wound, if someone were to wound my arm, let's say just gouge it and you could, you know, just break the skin, it was wounded. What would happen is a hard scab would form over that, right? Well, did you know your heart is like that? And if you've ever said this, well, I love God and I used to be able to hear his voice, but I don't hear it anymore. Often what that is you were wounded and a callus developed for survival. It's actually a gift from God. We can survive because we were like, I don't have to listen to this. I'm not taking this. And that was a natural means. But then over time, the callus served as a shield so we could no longer hear God or encounter God. Okay? And so I feel like I want to say, you know, if that's you, let's get rid of that, okay? So even if it's not you, we're just going to make this proclamation. I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I truly want all you have for me. And if I've built any structure of any kind, or if there's any callus over my heart that has caused me not to receive your love or hear your voice, I'm sorry. I ask you to help me dismantle it so that you can interact with my heart directly. I want all you have for me. In the name of Jesus. Okay, I just felt some things shift. There's someone here, I keep hearing the word betrayal. And you were betrayed, and I think it was more than once. And this may apply to multiple people. But there's one person that this almost brought you to your knees. The series of betrayals, like people or a person that you really trusted, and then they would gain your trust again and then betray you again. Then gain your trust again and betray you again. And I saw that, I just saw a picture of you on your knees like, I don't think I can take anymore. And it kind of left you in a a broken kneeling position. And in one sense, it's been good because it's brought you close to God, but it's been hard for you to receive your healing. And I saw a picture of Jesus extending his hand and just gently saying, are you ready to get up? He'll never force you, by the way. He'll never make you do what you're not ready to do. If it takes 10 years, he'll just wait till you're ready, because he understands. He gets it. He knows what it's like to have a broken heart. Did you know that? It says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was acquainted with grief. It says he came to heal the brokenhearted. It was one of his job descriptions. He came to heal the brokenhearted. And if you're brokenhearted without reason, maybe you say, I don't know why. I don't even know what happened. I just know my heart is broken. I see a picture of you putting your heart right in his hands, right into the palm of his hands, and I see him breathing his breath of glory on your heart. And I hear him saying, this weekend, I'm going to breathe on your heart. I'm going to cause you to live again and hope again. There are some people in here that hope, you felt hopeless. Like, I don't think this can ever, you know, I don't think I could ever have my hope or my dream. I don't think it's ever going to happen for me. I don't think I'm ever going to get out of this. You know, and the Bible says hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. But I feel like God is breathing on your hopes, because God, he has so much for you. I feel like I'm seeing the sun come up on a horizon, like the dawning of a new day. And I feel like he's saying, some of you have been through too much, but I'm breathing on your life because I want you to live again. There's parts, you know, I don't know if this will make sense to you, but when I went through a lot, there was a part of me that died on the inside, just emotionally. It wasn't my whole emotions, but there was a part of me that I just couldn't take anymore. I just couldn't take anymore, and I shut down. I shut down, and so I just didn't care. I went numb. And I loved the Lord with all my heart, and I was serving him, and you know, the best I knew. But I was numb on the inside, and you know why? There's only so much a person can take. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to somebody that you have struggled with this, and you've been like, what's wrong with me? I can't. I know I love God with all my heart, but I can't feel anymore. And the first thing God says is, I totally understand. Because it is, you do love me with all your heart. You always have. You've loved me, and your love is sincere, but you just couldn't take anymore, and so you shut down. That's a survival technique that I gave kids, by the way, so that they could survive tough things. But as you get older, I want to gently peel that off, because I don't want you to stay in that position. I want to raise you from the dead. I want to breathe into your life. And don't worry about what you're going to do for me or not do for me, because your value isn't in that. We'll do all that later. But today, what I want you to know is you're mine. You belong to me, and I'm so proud of you. You know, what I want from you isn't your great performance. And I know some of you, that's hard to believe. I'm not looking for your great performance. I'm looking for you. It makes my day when you just lift your voice to me or sing to me or just say thank you. It makes my day when you come and fellowship with me. That's what I love. I love you. You're my kid. I don't love you because of what you do or don't do. I love you because you're mine, my very own. And I feel like the Father is saying, I had my son Jesus give his life in exchange for you. I sent him to die so I could have you. And it was risky. It was risky. Remember the first one I sent, he didn't make it. I was Adam. Remember, Jesus was the last Adam. Adam didn't make it. It was risky. I sent Jesus because I wanted you. And no, I'm not talking to somebody else. I'm talking to you. And it has meant so much to me. It meant so much to me when I was able to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It has meant so much to me to be able to say, see that one? That one's mine, my very own. And I've been proud of you. I don't look at you and say, oh, you did that wrong. I look at you and say, that one's mine. And I'm so proud. And I love you with an everlasting love. My love is never going to change. It's never going to, there's nothing you can do to move out of my love. Have you not read that I have neither variableness nor shadow of turning? That's because my love shines continually like the sun on a bright day, continuously shining on you. That's never going to change. Whether you fulfill your purpose or not, you're mine. And I love you and I care what happens to you. But you know what I would really love? What I would love so much is if you would have the courage to spend time with me, knowing that you're not condemned, but that we are working together on your life. You and me. You and me working together. You and me walking and talking together and even dreaming together, sharing our hearts, just hanging out together. And as that happens, the more time you spend with me, some of those things will just fall off and you'll look back and say, whatever happened to that thing? Whatever happened to that habit? Whatever happened to that fear? Because in my presence, those things, they just fall off. They can't stay. Satan can't stay in the presence of the king. Strongholds can't stay in the presence. So what I desire for you is to come into the Holy of Holies. Have you ever understood? Sometimes, yes, it's nice when people lay at my feet and worship. That's lovely. And when they dance or wave flags, that's lovely. But you know, sometimes I just want you in my lap. I'm called Abba for a reason, Papa. Sometimes I want you to just crawl up and say, I don't understand anything. I don't know what's going on, but Father, I just need a hug. And if you come there often enough, I will teach you, he says. I will teach you what it is to be in me. Do you remember the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being? But most people haven't learned how to live in him. Because to live in him, you have to come to understand my complete acceptance of you, my love for you. Does it mean I won't correct you? Sure, I'll correct you sometimes, but it's because I love you. When I correct my child, it's like the love of a father for their little toddler who reaches a hand out to touch a hot stove. You spank them not because you're mad, but you love them. You don't want them to touch a hot stove. You want them to know, no, you can't go, that'll hurt you. The reason I tell people not to sin is it will hurt you, it will burn you, it'll wreck your life. The reason I tell people don't commit adultery is because it will hurt you, it will wreck your life. I don't tell you that to condemn or to make rules that are hard to keep. I tell you that because I love you and I want you to live your very best life. I want you to know what it is to walk in the favor of God all the time and know it. And know it. Knowing I'm going through life with confidence because my Father loves me. That's what God wants for you. Now that part was God, and this part is Holly. I'm going to tell you. I came down a long, long road being healed and delivered, and I won't say there's not more because we never know, you know, but I'm ready, hallelujah, to be changed. And I'm going to work on being changed until I look like Jesus, and I'm not there yet. But one thing I can tell you is that he brought me from feeling condemned and guilty into having fellowship, into going into the Holy of Holies and staying there, into being on his lap, and then finally being in him or being able to go to a place in him at will. And do you know why I can do this? I can do this. You know, anything, God calls upon me to do things that I don't have the ability to do and are even sometimes a little scary to do. But you know why I can do it without question? Because my Father loves me. And now I know it. When you know your Father loves you, you can do anything. Anything. You can even do things that are a little bit outside your calling. He can call you to do something. Well, I don't think that's my gift. Well, you're not going to do it, Holly. I'm going to do it through you. That's the real plan. The plan was never that we would do Christianity for him because we can't. The plan was that we would learn how to let him do it through us. Manifesting himself in the earth in whatever way he wants, whether it's through art or music or dance or worship or teaching or preaching or praying or just being a person that lives in the presence of the king. Do you know that some people are just called to minister to him? And I actually believe that's the highest calling, and nobody knows about them because it's a secret. They live in the secret place. And at that great wedding, I think those are the ones that will be in the front. And those of us that had a big mouth with a microphone will be way in the back going, I knew her, I knew him. Those that have a ministry to the King are deeply valued by God. See, other people don't get who they are, but that doesn't matter, because God adores them. Hallelujah. Well, I feel like I should release for now. Do you have anything else, Lori? Okay. I feel like I should release you. I feel like that was a lot, and I feel like God wants to soak you and just let you steep in his love. And ask him if you have questions about anything I said. Ask him. He'll help you. And by the way, if you ask him, it causes him to speak through us the next day. Okay. So we love you. God loves you. So go and have a rest in his love. Amen. And we'll see you in the morning.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.